Hey guys, this is Sara. I'm recording this on May 17th, but I might not post it for a while. It's kind of intended to be something to put out into the ether that is Reddit so that I'm not totally slacking from my content milling. I don't know. Like, I feel like half of this is like I'm running it out of enjoyment, and half of it's like, ooh, how many followers can I get? Which I know is not a healthy approach. Obviously, every comment and every person that follows means a lot to me, really do. But I'm gamifying my own hobby. Great job, Sara. But yes, so tonight, this is going to be safe for work. Sorry, unless you like that kind of stuff and then you're excited. So that's good. But I was going to read some of my old poems, and this is me being hella vulnerable, you guys. I don't show my poems to, like, anyone. It is very personal. A lot of these poems are somewhat old to very old, and so they won't apply to me anymore. They won't be my actual thoughts and feelings about the subjects I write about really anymore, for the most part. But they're interesting little snapshots of Sara in various points of time. Why can't I words tonight? I'm sorry. Yes. So I hope you enjoy. I'm going to look through now. Let's see. What's the most recent poem that pops up on my phone? Let's see. No, I don't want to read this one. It's not even that it's too personal. I just don't think it's very good. I don't want to read you my extra shitty poems. None of them are going to be great. Just temper your expectations. Oh, you know what? Okay, here's one. Okay. It's called... I titled it Admire on my phone, but I think the working title was... Apollo. I'm pretty sure it was Apollo. So here goes. I can imagine you, veiled by desert stars, piercing the night with sun-gold eyes, even as the chill invades your breath. But I cannot imagine what we'd whisper in that night. You are of another life, now close to me, a distance I cannot seem to travel. I don't think I want to. But I can imagine you, the only singular you. I do not see myself in these daydreams. I only admire your beauty, omniscient above. It's an immature sort of musing, like my teenage daydreams. But you're handsome, nonetheless, and these thoughts always please me. Like you, bronze and shining, in the Californian sun, the salt air humid on your skin, the sand in your dark hair. Oh, you, a golden god, the lust I felt in newly blossomed adulthood, where even your full name tasted sweet and sharp on my lips, as contraband wine hidden in my sophomore dorm closet. When I kissed you, it was like a puff from my asthma inhaler. My lungs expanded. You breathed through me. I think that I liked it. When he kisses me, he sucks the air from me, fervently, passionately, and I love him. I care for you, but I know I will never love you. Yet you always smell like the sea, and your eyes are Baltic amber. If I believed in other lives, I believe you were special to me in one, even more so than you are now. But you are like a sailor, preferring solitude, and my feelings are vast and turbulent as the currents. You saw that in me, docile as I was, a skinny, gangly young thing those many years ago. Innocent, virginal, I froze in your arms and blushed at your words. You saw the passion threatening to break forth. You heard it in my voice, crashing, tumbling, spraying sea. How I wanted to devour you like a wave upon the shore. I held myself back. Let him have you, I thought. And you could have. You stopped yourself when I trembled so shy in your arms. And now we sip iced tea in a breezy, small cafe and trade gossip from work, from life. I'm curvier now, no longer the thin young girl I was. And you're kind to me, very kind. But I think you no longer find me attractive. I remember how you swallowed thickly when I wore that skin-tight purple dress, a black lace jacket, and heeled boots. Oh, how you wanted me. My lithe curves, athletic, slender legs. Your eyes raked over every inch of my pale, exposed skin. And now you smile genially and ask about my family. And though I want things to be this way, though I cannot imagine a future with you, nor want one, what a thrill I felt when your eyes undressed me. If you've noticed my newly full chest, you do not make it obvious. I never told anyone how strong my attraction was for you. Even you didn't know. But I've seen you at every size, every style, and my pulse quickened every time. We can only be friends, nothing more. But I'm only human, only a woman. I cannot help but notice beauty. And that's Apollo. Man, that's a lot. I don't know if I want you all knowing all this. God, because, okay, the cat's, yeah, I don't know. It's old. Don't judge me on old poems. I don't like this poem. Dark Star Cowboy. No. Okay. I can read it. It's unfinished. I don't think it's very good, but I'll give you an example of one of my crappier poems. Maybe. As if the last one wasn't crappy enough. Okay. Dark Star Cowboy. Drifting sands. Tempestuous and gritty. More character than man. Written by, inspired by, Cormac McCarthy. My mom warned me, you know, off of slick-talking cowboys, peacocking, with hips jutted out, and brand new pristine Levi's. Ah, but you're really an artist. Earth and soul and your aura, a Sedona sunset. I only know maple trees and blue bonnets from songs of my childhood, and the steer of Fort Worth, the Oakline streets of Irving. But you know all about my California dream. You loved it too, dear. Your soul dissolved in gray-misted sea. Well, it wasn't as terrible as I remembered. Let's see. Oh, okay, here's a pretty recent one I wrote, actually. Verge. Am I on the edge? On edge, on edge, on. I always walk right to the line. I always pull away from all else. Danger excites me, yet I yearn for stability, yet I yearn for more, I always. How to reconcile that? Can I? Tell me. Can I? I'm a visitor in every home, every threshold, even my own. I'm told some even welcome me and I have no idea why. I'm desperate for attention until I'm given it. I'm desperate for affection until I am loved. Being cherished scares me. Do I even deserve it? Do I even believe it? That I could be loved? His words ring hollow in my ears. Do I believe them? Does he? He's my rock, my safety. He's a walking corpse. I look out over the edge. What else is out there? Why is it that I have the don't look down, don't security I've always craved, and yet I find it so hollow? Breathe in, breathe out. How dare I hope for more? Yeah. No, I don't have any commentary on that. It is what it is. Oh man, I promised old poems because I wanted there to be the cringe factor. You know, I'm gonna find my DeviantArt from college next time. That is some really cringy poems. Well, this one's Blue Hour. I wrote it while I was on vacation. Yeah. Show me your blue hour. Changing colors behind the hills. I am a mosaic of shades in uneven depths on the shore. You are so afraid to change, even though you crave it most. Even daylight cannot avoid this fate. So how could we ever feel we can? I crave stability too, but grasping at it is to clutch at wind. I resign myself. We must compromise. I resign myself, but I'm not resigned. No, don't cling. You'll gain nothing by planting both feet in the quicksand. I'm by your side, always, but I refuse to let my head go under. Ambiguity, what's that? It's why I take these pills. They're better than stomach aches, panic attacks, and shaking limbs. Do not seek lasting perfection. It can only be experienced after we die. Enjoy every moment of purity and bliss, and muddle through the rest. I promise it's worth it. I actually kind of like that one. Here's just a quick one. It's called Sudamani. 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 My Finnish pronunciation. Sudamani. It's just quick. My heart is bleeding all over the floor. You're staring at it, speechless, unmoving, paralyzed. I need you to call 911. Yeah, that's it. Okay, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, this is a spicy poem, but I'm not going to read it. I'm sorry. That's too personal. Oh, too personal. Okay. Whew. Wow, I'm finding a bunch of more recent ones that I forgot I ever wrote. This one I wrote while I was delirious with sinusitis. Here it is. I wrote it around Christmas time. Certain things you write when you're it was right after a Christmas party. When you're delirious, drunk, lightheaded, congested, overmedicated, obsessive, compulsive, and happy. All the mass in the universe made obscenely small. In a muscle fiber just above your eyebrow that crashes and thunders from 3 gin and sodas, in a diuretic and an apothecary of supplements and potions that you take when you're chronically sick because you still like to hope, and something for your OCD that'll prune those fussy nerves and shrink them down to a nub, an eraser on a pencil. I don't drink often, and only when I'm happy. And I'm happy tonight, so happy. So I indulge and indulge. It's sinusitis, not COVID, the pounding in my head. Or maybe it's a hangover. Whatever, the doctor gave me the go-ahead. I'll be at work on Monday morning. I worked until 8 on Friday, and I didn't even ask to get paid overtime. Is that sad? Maybe. Is it sadder yet that I love my job? Even when it's so stressful, I'm finally at home. The holidays are a time for festivities and merriment, for Stevie Wonder's Christmas carols and my dad's Michelin-worthy dinners, for feeling my sister's warm arms that wrap me in a hug. I rarely get that anymore now that she lives in Atlanta. And to see my mom, she's happy, and that rarely comes easy for her. For decorating a tree with my boyfriend, our first one together after 7 years of living apart, and imagining a cat that will lay underneath the warm lit boughs when we adopt one next year. For midnight mass and communion, the only communion I really take anymore. And if only for one day, my religious fervor is renewed and I'm awash in good feeling. For parties where I see friends who have changed so much and still drinking vodka around a kitchen table, discussing Russian samizdat literature, philosophy, laughing like hyenas. And for these moments, it's like we're back in college again. If a cynical scientist like me can fully surrender to wonder, I hope others can too. Happiness is fleeting. Reach out and dwell inside it. Float on it, chest to sky like a wave. Give yourself over to warmth, to joy. It's so hard, I know. We feel silly because so much of it is manufactured, so processed. Are we fake to revel in it? Still, there's real warmth. I just want you to taste it, even for a second. It's not so much the spirit of the season, or bright lights, or a pastor's words. It's the fact that our species was hardwired over millennia and eons to create joy in the darkest nights, simply because we yearn for it. Whether that's God, or simply the divinity within us, or if you believe these are one and the same, I find that to be reason enough to celebrate. Oh, I actually like that one. Okay, some of these aren't the worst. Oh, this is a heavy one. Okay, there's not really a working title for it. It's called, I think I did call it Safe. S-A-I-F. About a person. I write to eat and I write to purge, and my hand is more fluent than my mouth. My poems heal me, transform me, help me process. Cheaper than therapy and like alchemy, my pain becomes beauty. Love becomes worship. I become someone else. Still, there are scars I desperately try to avoid. To hold them up to the light would make them ooze and seep. I can talk about it all day, in therapy or Reddit threads. But when I put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, my throat runs as dry as a wash in Mojave. Safe. I only write his name, his real name, not the false one he gives, and it's like poison. My heart beats faster, my stomach tied in knots. Digitalis. He loved Japanese food, toxic fugu fish. He wasn't so bad, he assured me. I assured myself. Age gaps are normal. What did he call it? Oh, yes. Ephebophilia. It's only natural. Him, 27. Me, a few days after 17. With a face and innocence of a girl who just hit menses. A good Catholic girl who never even touched herself and thought people only had sex when they were in love. I can't bring myself to hate him, even as I hate all he stands for. And stories of children and teenagers being abused makes me want to tear my hair out, makes me want to vomit out the toxin. I wish this never happened. It fucking happens all the time. No, he never fucked me. At least not with his body. The this is hard to read. Sorry. But he screwed me with his words, graphic and detailed. I count myself lucky. But still, those words are burned under my scalp like a brand. He liked Finnish women. He watched them in porn. See, Sara, don't worry. He likes grown women, too. And also teenage girls. He thought 14-year-olds were babes. And do I have any pictures from 9th grade? But when I told them I thought of him, when I gave myself my first orgasm, well, that was just disgusting, apparently. Why did I run to him? There were guys my own age, 17, 18, 19, who treated me well, who were real friends and still are. Tim put his arms around me, and we pretended people weren't staring when I leaned my head on his shoulder in the bleachers, November Friday night football. And when he walked me to Spanish after physics, but real, healthy intimacy was way too terrifying. And Jake was my first kiss. And we were both so nervous, so naive. We went to church dances and held hands at the beach. Alex was older too, but at least I was 19 then. And he waited for my lead, not pushing. And his words were always kind. Why was safe siren call so magnetic? Why did I love to be abused? Did I crave the love my mother couldn't give me? And so unavailability was appealing? The bastard's back in Dubai. And it's been 8 years. I don't know if he got his PhD, and I don't even care. But somehow I do care if he's happy. If he's found the will to live. I shouldn't, I know. He isn't my responsibility. But my scars healed in pink ridges and keloids, raised for the world to see. They always remind me of him. And I was just his casualty. Whew. That's a heavy one. Here's a narrative one that's not about me or anybody. I called it The Grieving Tatar. I wrote it after listening to a couple of Tatar songs. I really love Tatar folk music. There's a song called Kara Toprak. And there's one called Bakçılarda Kestanye. So they heavily inspired this one. Under packed dense snow lies stubborn black earth that nourishes the springtime where grass is reborn. And under this black earth, she sleeps forever. I never got to tell her, but I think she knew. Yes, under black earth is the mistress of my hopes, the sweetness I yearned for, the love I almost knew. And I remember her smile and the sweetness of youth, and her laughter like bells and loose hair tumbling like chestnuts from a tree. And under black earth and her lidded eyes are those hazel eyes that enthralled me. That made me hers. She was curled up in a snowbank, my dear, deceased sweetheart. I cried for her then, as I do today. Bitter tears from my eyes, won't you nourish her roots so that she can spring forth from the earth and sing once more? Bitter tears tumbling, like chestnuts, like her curls. I can't seem to stop it. I water dark soil and nettles. Chivon, my sweetheart, dear friend of my youth, your jokes make me smile, your songs ease my toil. Chivon, my darling, how beautiful you were, dressed in red, draped in roses, the day you married him. My love, I told you, I would find us a place far away from him, where he could never hurt you. And blinking, crying, your neck and the silver I gave. You told me this could not be. It has already been decided. Chivon, I wish I never had to see how he covered your neck in bruises instead of amber and pearls. Chivon, I despaired when I saw you at the market. Hazel eyes, bloodshot blackened, lips trembling with tears. And I told you we could leave. But you shook and stayed silent. How I wish I stole you away. Instead, I squeezed your hand. My darling, love of my youth, I wish I could take your place, or simply join you beyond, under dark, frozen earth. Perhaps my time will come, because I am at his door, and my knife is sharpened, but he is yet stronger than me. That's a poem I'm actually, I would say, proud of. I will put my stamp of approval on that one. I actually like that poem. It's not the best poem in the world. There are so many poets, so many writers that are way better than me. But for my own standards, I'm proud of that one. Let's see. Want to read? Yeah, here's my angry poem I wrote a long time ago. It's called Domina. Oh, I have to redact some names. Okay. I tell you to get on your knees, but you don't deserve to look up at me. Face the wall, Imperator. I set the terms now. No, begging won't sway me, and it doesn't become you. I'd advise you to surrender, but you can't offer me anything. You thought I'd fall for your tricks? You're no Caesar Augustus, no Hannibal Barca, no general, tactician. You're just airman, name redacted. So fuck off back to the capital, Rome or Sacramento. All you do is plunder. And we women of Lavinia have had enough. You may think you're victorious, that you were marked by Sol Invictus, but you're wrong. I was destined for far greater than your fate. And so was she, so was every woman sorry enough to have met you. You think you're Marcus Antonius? You aren't even Caligula. So scream your rally cry, Brutus, as if we'd be so impressed at your ideals of revolution that you're too lazy to ever enact. I'll sit in silent judgment, Domina of my lab bench. Enjoy your appointed position like an underqualified senator. While Hypatia forges ahead because she can't rely on you for shit. Scout out the office for your next courtesan. But wait, isn't that why you got fired before? And anyway, you had your chance with Cleopatra. She was always too good for you. And even I am too good for you. Yeah. Yeah, I was very angry when I wrote that poem. These aren't that good. Sorry, I did not talk for a long time. Okay, let's see. Do I want to read this one? I guess I will. I don't have a working title for this one. I titled it Desire, but I don't like that. What am I thinking? Nothing. I'm raw impulse, stirred by the rasp in your melody, stirred by slow blinking green eyes, light brown eyelashes. What the hell am I thinking when I'm thinking of us undressed? I belong to someone else. I would never stray, but thoughts aren't forbidden, and I so do love the way you laugh. We're wrong for each other. We'd never have a future. You want independence, nomadism. I want mundane stability. So why does my heart ache for you? Why is it that you seem to have a spot that's just a little softer for me than for anyone else? Why do I stare at the hairline that creeps down your slender neck and imagine kissing it and snap out of it? Because you're talking and I'll pay attention. Every word from you, every joke, still burns me with longing. But it shouldn't be this way. I have to think logically. Just as a reminder, these are very, 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 very old poems. Please don't judge me for them now. Very old. Like many of them, years upon years old. And I never acted on any of these crushes that I had in these poems. Okay. Huh. I think I called this one Vegvesser. Does your talisman keep you safe from Baltic girls? Does it guard your heart from taciturn storms? Or do you wear it to draw us close? I wish I knew what you were after. How stoically, classically, beautiful you are. You might belong in ancient Rome. Do your prayers call out to many gods? Or do the prayers of the public call out to you? And what would the philosophers say if they knew what tore my heart? Would they tell me to starve myself of your gaze? Content myself with Epicurean crumbs? I want the banquet given to the emperor. Call me Domina, call me Augusta. And yet, I'm half myself in your presence. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know, a lot of these poems that I wrote around this time are kind of crappy. Yeah, I do not like these. I do not like them. Boo! Okay, this isn't so bad. You're flooding my veins with slow time. You're a shot of epinephrine, microdose. You're a candle dripping wax all over my desk. You're unattainable. I'm trying my best to catch my breath. I'm hearing my heart drum in my ears. I'm feeling like I'm 15 again. I'm confused. We're separated by the stillness of formality. We're both too uncertain. We run hot and cold. We're a silence that pleads for the next word. We're awkward. You're a caricature of male beauty. Too good to be true. You're a storm contained in a whispering wind. You're exactly who I hope to never meet. You're wonderful. Yeah. I think that's enough for tonight. Oh man, I feel embarrassed and vulnerable. I feel very vulnerable. I seek out, I don't know, self-expression, but then it also is terrifying. And I think sometimes I get right up to the edge of like fully revealing things, but I don't. So I don't know, I feel like a hypocrite. So here's me being too open. Hope you enjoy. Yay, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.